comes to church growth programs and formats, what do you think God's Word has to say on the subject? And mark it, he is into church growth. But his view of church growth is vastly different than your church growth view, or mine for that matter. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon has us back in the book of Acts as we look again at chapters 4 and 5. It is a church growth strategy to live by. And mark it, it's not your father's church growth program, if I could coin the phrase. We invite you to spend time with us today as we look at Acts 4 and 5, a church growth strategy to live by. Here's Pastor Chris and today's program.
Ananias and Sapphira, another wealthy couple in the church, were obviously impressed with Barnabas' gift and this spirit that had overcome in the life of the congregation, and maybe feeling pressure. I don't know exactly what was in their minds, but I know what they did. They said, we're going to do the same thing. Everyone knew that Ananias and Sapphira's land was up for sale. Must have been prime real estate in the Jerusalem area. Corner property. We're going to sell our land, and we're going to give the proceeds like Barnabas did to the needy. Sounds great, doesn't it? So it sells. They come and they make donation time to make the call for good and to present the check. No one, of course, knew how much they made. The amount was between them and the Holy Spirit. But we read this little ominous phrase that they kept back part of it. It's interesting. I believe it's one of the only times it's used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, which is what a lot of the writers were working with. It's the very language used of Achan, the sin of Achan. Now, don't miss what this was. God never commanded Ananias and Sapphira to do this. They would not have been in trouble for if they decided not to sell their land. But they made a public display of it. They said, we're going to do this thing like everyone else. The issue then is not that they were forced to sell their stuff. It is that they sold their stuff and in the process lied, saying that they were doing it to give it to the poor, so that then, in response, they would receive all the same treatment and respect and honor as a rich person does when they give, without really loving in single or oneness of spirit their brothers and sisters. What do you call that? What do you call that? Hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. This is such an important moment for the early church and for us to study. I want you to listen to this and consider this with me for a minute. There's no doubt countless hypocrisies have happened in the life of the church. It's a terror. You know it hurts witness, and people, it's become so common that this is the main and probably biggest reason that people use, sometimes just as a mere cop-out to not want to even be a part of the church. But the thing they constantly say is, the church is full of hypocrites. Right? Here our Lord purposely drags the hypocrisy into the open. Interesting, isn't it? We learn some very important things here through this, don't we? I want you to notice now how the apostles, who were given by the Spirit wisdom and knowledge of this, which means that the Spirit knows everything you do. Notice what they say in verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? It was yours. And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? You made this decision. Why is it you've contrived, you set up a plan, this deed in your heart? You've not lied to man, but to God. I should say up front, this is not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is not necessarily saying that when people receive these judgments in the Bible, in the context of the community, that they were immediately consigned to hell. There were temporary judgments that happened for a reason, to teach the church something. Did you hear Peter's perspective? Satan filled your heart, tempting you. What was happening here? What's the heart of this in the early church? What's going on here? This thing has been hugely successful, the church. How many people have come in? Thousands and thousands of people. And it's getting noticed by the secular authorities, by everyone and the people. Do you know how unhappy Satan is when the church is doing well? Do you know how unhappy Satan is when the gospel ministry is genuine and there are genuine believers happening? That is the greatest threat to him. Think of the previous verses again. Think of what you saw, the simplicity, the love, the fervent love, the no longer caring about themselves. Think of all that now. So you start to think, when things are going well, watch out. I was thinking about this week. You know, the Lord has really blessed the Escondido URC. We've got a building project. We see growth. Our brother stood up and professed his faith this morning. Ryan joined us this morning. The Lord's adding. I've seen among the members of this church real big encouragement in response to the message. They say it takes 5 years for a ministry to be received and trusted and those sort of things. And I can say that it seems to me, and I'm not anything we know could happen, but it seems to me that there is an openness in your hearts to the word that I see happening right now. Now that goes on. Darcy and I both commented on it. Seems like the Lord's really doing something. You think Satan's happy about that? If you can say anything good is happening here, you think Satan's happy about that? If the church is doing its job and there's blessing there from the Lord, there's also real spiritual warfare going on. Real. You know he tempts? How? We've been looking at assaults from the outside. We've been discussing assaults from the outside. This is internal. Here's how. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You had land, Ananias, and Sapphira. Yes, you were under no compulsion to sell it. But you said you were going to give it. And when you sold it, you kept it back. For what reason? So that you would be seen as a great giver. But on the inside, you are playing the hypocrite. Listen, you're just giving a mere appearance of conformity. You are pretending. You see what Satan's trying to do? Church is growing. He's got a powerful strategy. Internally tempt the church with as much hypocrisy as he can. And we all have our share, by the way. And tempt the church with hypocrisy, apathy, disinterest, disengagement, to only create a mere superficial outward conformity that looks right, that nobody would ever be able to say anything's wrong with it. It's interesting, isn't it? Why'd you come here today? Don't you think it's quite possible that people really don't want to be here? What would happen if the church was filled with people like that? Here for the reason, for any reason, 20, 30 reasons, of reasons that they just have to be here. That someone will be bothered if they're not. There's mom and dad over there. They're going to see. Were you off doing that again and not at church? Offering passes by. I got to put in the buck so that everyone sees I put in something. Was it really to help the poor? Didn't Jesus give the great indictment that people come to worship him going through formalities, but their hearts are far from him? Those are his words. Heart keeps coming up here, doesn't it? Why did you purpose in your heart? They were of oneness of heart. Satan doesn't want the church to be successful, but in this way. So if it's going to grow, let me add to that growth. Listen to this. This is so important. Let me add to that growth with a bunch of people who are only going to go through the motions. That's how I'm going to add to the church. With a bunch of people who are just doing it to be seen as Christians. But there's no heart in this. They're not believing. So that they can seem like they're complying, maybe to keep others happy, to keep somebody off the back, to do enough to be considered spiritual, but to keep back the heart. How much hypocrisy has killed the church? We just studied in this first part of end of chapter 4, authentic Christianity. There was involvement. They were there. There was love. Great grace was upon them, and it spilled over in their love and their concern for well-being and their involvement in the body, that their care for the body, all motivated by the resurrection message of Jesus, gospel. And then right after that is this problem. The greatest insult internally on the church. See, this is why the New Testament is giving you all kinds of commands like this. And it's saying this, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Romans 12, as I read in the law, let love be without hypocrisy. And in the first century, they knew just what that was. Hypokritos, it meant without masks. It was the hypocrite. It was the actor who wore a mask. I don't want you to love like that. Here's their problem. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira, if we're all honest this morning, is pretty common in all of us, isn't it? In fact, it's our greatest problem in the church as time goes on. Apathy combined with mere outward compliance was Israel's problem. And I say this morning, I'm guilty in every way of this. You're guilty. We have most certainly held back in many ways. So what did the Holy Spirit do here? He exercised church discipline. He exercised church discipline. The thing that nobody wants to do. Everyone says is mean. And if you want to say that, you've got to talk to the Spirit because he took them out for this. Why? This is the New Testament. You can't use that little statement, it's the Old Testament. This is not the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. He wants you to know that he discerns the intents and thoughts of the heart. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing, it's cutting, it's discerning the intents and thoughts of your heart right now. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. In every major beginning, the Lord did something like this. Think of Nadab and Abihu. In fact, the same language is used of what they did when they carried out Nadab and Abihu who were struck. That was Aaron's sons in the priesthood. The same language is used right here. It's the same kind of moment. They were just ordained. There was joy and excitement with Nadab and Abihu, and they offered a profane fire before the Lord, and they didn't regard his holiness, and he set an example in the community. Why is that important for us? You see what Satan would love to do. he would love to fill this place with people who appreciate nothing. So that when you have this temptation, what he loves to do is take away a sense in the church of whose feet you are coming under. He wants you to forget the reverence of the Lord. He wants you to forget his holiness and begin to say, this is the New Testament. God doesn't mind. We come and go as we please. He doesn't take sins of the heart that seriously. Here's the issue. You see what's just happened right now? This is the issue this morning. This is the issue. Do you see what's just happened? What the threat is internally to the church? You've emptied the reason for the Lord and the ministry if this becomes the church. You see, great grace was needed, but to keep people desiring that grace, it always has to be accompanied with great fear. Did you catch that? Twice it said. You have great grace and then great fear. Grace is cheap, right? If there's no sense of why you're here and why you need it, you can make it that. Twice, verse 5. So great fear came upon those who heard these things. Verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. How so? What's the effect? Everyone notice verse 13. We're going to close it in a minute. Look at verse 13. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. How's that for a church growth strategy? Everyone thought very carefully of whether they should join the church. Everyone thought, we better be really careful about what we're getting involved with. This is no game to be involved in the church of Jesus. See what it did? It checked motivations. Why would you want to be a part of this? Why are you here? Exercise church discipline right at the start so that everyone would think carefully whether they want to be a part of the church. That people would then come for the right reasons, right? And that'll never happen if fear is gone. You see, fear is gone. We approach the church as anything else we do. We complain about sermon length. We treat worship as cumbersome. We don't like our lives open. We're always worried about how we're viewed. And then we say no discipline because that just makes us look bad. We open the doors to everyone with little consideration of who we're letting in. Dangerous. We're not listening. Because we've cheated the church this way, we filled it today with people who have no idea of what they need anymore. So you understand that? The Holy Spirit established the first incidence of discipline to make clear God wanted this as a warning. This was not just a club. God gave his church so that you can be joined to the body of Jesus. Because of this problem in our hearts, to receive from him every time you come the forgiveness of your sins, to receive from him love, to receive from him grace, to receive from him what you need as a sinner, because he loves you. But he's not going to let his church become this. He's not going to let it become a hypocritical mess of people who have just made it a game. That would kill the witness. You might have a lot of number, but very few saved. He wants you in, listen to this. I said wisdom. He wants you in joy to love coming here for the right reasons. To know that he is really going to, when you believe in sincerity of heart and confess your sins, he's going to forgive you. But do you see what can happen if we make it a church full of hypocrisy with the coat and tie on? You need grace. I need grace. And that grace will be desired when we come with reverence and godly fear. If we've made it a show and we're playing a game and we're here merely for friends and family or an appearance of compliance, you're mocking God. Satan loves Pharisees. And he was trying to create him in the church. You are those, said Jesus, who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. So God sent a strong message as the church began. You see what he's after. He's done with hypocritical external facade, contrary to phony hypocrisy. He wants you being here committed, genuine followers of Jesus. And you see the result? That's what happened. Look at verse 13 again. No one dared to join them, but here it is. Believers were added. And it didn't just say that in verse 13. It said, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of men and women. You see what happened? They considered it. They considered what it was and says, we want to be a part of that believing. That's what he's after. And then it spilled over in this love that we see here, because they're truly born again. They're people who love their family. They're people who want to be involved in their family. Wherever the Lord is building, wherever the Lord is doing a great work, there will always be Satan assaulting to tear down authentic Christianity this way. So there will always be a need for, hear this, there will always, 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 because of this problem, be a need for reverence and worship. There will always be a need to keep ourselves controlled in worship, remembering who we're coming before. May we remember that it's the greatest privilege to be a member of the body of Christ, greatest privilege. As we come every week to worship, let us think about who we belong to and what we belong to, and ensure that our love, because we've been loved, is without hypocrisy, that is, without masks. Let's pray. Father, we're all guilty of this, pastor and all, and we know that in many ways we sin. And we humble ourselves this morning and remember what we are a part of. As we've received great grace, may there also be great reverence and godly fear, for you are indeed a consuming fire. And we always have to be reminded of why we're here and what we need. And this example of Ananias and Sapphira should cause us to be thankful for your grace to us and consider why we need to be in your presence. Help us, wash us, and cleanse us, and give us in response, not a dread of you, but in that reverence, a joy that we saw in the early part of Acts here, of caring for one another, of loving one another, of caring for the well-being of one another with sincere love and authentic Christianity. Thank you for hearing us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we thank you for taking some of your valuable time and spending it with us here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do trust that our time together today has brought about some real encouragement in your walk and relationship with Christ. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us and let us know how the broadcast encourages you in Christ. Now, there are a couple of ways of reaching out to us. You can visit us online, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. If you have questions, write them to us, questions@agradio.org. Or use your voice memo app on your smartphone or your device. Record your question, and again, mail it to us, questions@agradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them as they come to us. Abounding Grace Radio is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you like to follow. And if you have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, well, we are listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, well, get in touch with us. As always, no gift is too small or too large. One-time gift, recurring gift, it all sustains this broadcast here on this station. You can go to agradio.org and donate online securely, or call 888-504-8805. or send your donation via mail, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.